chapter 9 of Revelation. We're going to begin with verse 1, and this is the fifth trumpet. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, beginning. I read, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things." The fifth trumpet, this is where locusts, these types of locusts, are released from the bottomless pit. Verse 1 again, "The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit." Now, the star fallen from heaven, it may be a fallen angel, some type of angelic military leader or warrior, or possibly even Satan himself. But the star is not an actual star, but it's symbolic of a person. We know that because the star is referred to as a he or a him. So to him, verse 1, it says, was given the key to the bottomless pit. So a star would not be given an actual key. So there are symbolisms throughout Revelation, and the difficulty is to discern which is symbolic and that which is literal. And if we don't get that right, then we get a misinterpretation. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. And God will reveal to us what He wants us to know. We're not going to have all knowledge. He has all knowledge. Amen. But He imparts to us what we need to know, what is beneficial for us. If we're hungry, He'll feed us. Amen. If we want to know, if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open unto us. And so we know Satan is referred to, though, as the morning star that fell. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, in the King James Version, it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." You see what's happening right now, amen, in the earth, in the nations, how everything is being shaken right now. Pay attention to it. "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Jesus said in Luke 10 and verse 18, "I saw Satan fall like lightning," right, "from heaven." So whoever it is, this individual is granted authority to open the bottomless pit. And this authority would have to be granted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why do we know that? Because Jesus said that I have all authority, right? Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, Satan is limited as to what he can do. He's on a short leash. He just doesn't take liberty, especially when it comes to the children of God, to the saints, to the people that belong to Jesus. Amen. We're in the palm of his hand. He said no one is able to snatch us out of his hand, right? So God takes care of those, amen, who trust him. And Satan is actually used by God for his purposes. God binds him and he looses him. He's going to bind him for 1,000 years, and after 1,000 years, he's going to loose him again. So understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen, has been given all authority, exousia, right, in heaven and on earth, and even under the earth. He's been given the name above all names. So there are beings, there is a world under the world, amen, under the earth. And it's referred to as Hades, or the place of the departed dead. And in Revelation 1 and verse 18, Jesus himself said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And what? I have the keys of Hades and of death. So whoever this is that's dispatched to open this pit had to receive the authorization from who? From Jesus, yes. See, he's the only one that has this authority to allow or disallow the opening of this pit. And so he, whatever this individual is, whoever he is, had been given this key to the shaft of the bottomless pit, or the abyss in the Greek. And this is the dwelling place of demons. When he opened the entrance to the abyss, billows of smoke poured out as if from a huge furnace, turning the landscape into darkness. Verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And so the pit denotes a well or a pit for water dug in the earth. Or it can also speak of a cavern. So there are caverns under the earth. And it's clearly referring to this netherworld, you know, or Hades, the region of the dead, or the abode of the wicked spirits. And the pit's so horrible that the demons mentioned in Luke 8:31, remember in 8:31 it says they begged Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. They didn't want to go to this place. They were, you know, looking for a wet place, if you will, to occupy, you know. And so that's why demons are looking to possess human beings, because they need a body. As the Holy Spirit's looking for a body, so the demons are looking for a body. And so God, Jesus did send them, didn't he, into the swine, a herd of swine. So they had a wet place to go, and then he took them back into the water. But they begged Jesus, you know, not to send them to this place. And but out of this thick smoke of the pit ascends a swarm of what John describes as locusts, some type of locusts. And throughout the Old Testament, locusts were symbolic of destruction, right? And it's been interesting how there's been plagues, even modern day plagues of locusts that are happening all over the earth, all kinds of very strange weather phenomenon, and insects and invasions of insects and disappearing bees, and, you know, and without bees, I mean, there's no pollination. You know, we would lose fruits and many types of fruits, right? We wouldn't be able to in certain vegetables as well. And but they're wondering what is going on. Why are the bees disappearing? And there's a lot of reasons, yeah. But the Lord said that, you know, the time would come when, you know, barley and wheat would be rare commodities. You know, there's no mention of fruit. You know, I'm sure there'll be those who probably are very wealthy that would be able to have access to some of these delicacies. But the whole earth is right now is in convulsions, isn't it? And Jesus said it would be that way. It'd be like a woman that's in travail before she has a child, you know. And everything is being shaken. The earthquakes, I mean, are everywhere. Volcanoes everywhere. You don't hear much about it, do you, on the mainstream? But it's happening. But these, in verse 4, were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And now we know in Christ, amen, the Lord seals us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And they were not given authority to kill them, the men who were on the earth at that time, people, but to torment them for 5 months. Now we can ask the question, why would God allow that to happen for 5 months? Why doesn't he just wipe them out? Or, you know, and I believe it's because of God's mercy that God uses judgment in hopes that people will wake up and turn to him in repentance so he can forgive them and save their souls. But some people are just not going to be saved because they're going to be stubborn to their last breath. But God gives people a space and opportunity, all right, to repent. He's been good to us, hasn't he? And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. So number one, they were told not to hurt the grass, trees, or any green thing. Two, they are not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And remember, it was the 144,000, remember, that were sealed, right? In the forehead, all right, by God. They're protected by God, in other words. There's torment. Their torment is what, for 5 months? In other words, it's not going to be forever. And their sting is painful like that of a scorpion. Now, I've been stung by a few kind of, you know, critters in my time. And I tell you what, if you ever got even a fire ant can be pretty painful. Certain bees and horseflies can be pretty painful, you know. But a scorpion's even, you know, more of a severe. I've never, to my knowledge, I've never been bit by a scorpion. But these demonic locusts are going to be released upon those who refuse to repent of their evil. But God's purpose, again, was not to just to condemn, but to save. He wants to save people. But this is the thing, is where we are, our requirement, our responsibility is to cooperate with God. Amen. To choose his way. He doesn't force us to do that, but he can punish us. And hopes to get our attention that we will turn to him. How many here came to the Lord because you were in a desperate time of your life? You came to the Lord in a desperate time of your life. I did. Yeah. Most people come to the Lord because of difficulty. Something happens. Something causes us to realize we need someone bigger than ourselves now to intervene, right? And I did. I was very arrogant in myself. And God humbled me. He had to knock me down literally and wake me up, you know, and he removed the scales, if you will, from my eyes. I thought I was so smart. I was so clever, you know, and I actually thought I was pretty righteous too. You know, well, I don't know, but I had a form of my own righteousness. You know, I would justify myself in my own righteousness. I'm not too bad of a person, you know. And so, therefore, I should go to heaven if I die, you know, blah, blah, blah. But God showed me myself, my true self, and how corrupt I really was in his sight, you know, through sin. So that I became fearful, really, of judgment and hell. I became aware that I was going to hell. I knew it, that if I didn't repent, I was going to hell. I believe I was given an option who I was going to serve. And I called on the Lord. I mean, wouldn't you? Hopefully you will, right? But we did, and we have. And because of that, you know, the Lord saved us. Hallelujah. And, you know, if you're truly saved, you'll have that witness within you. You'll know you have peace with God. You'll know, amen, that it's right between you and your Maker, and heaven is your home. Hallelujah. And you're not basing that upon your own goodness, but on God's mercy and what he's done in your life and how he's changed your heart and given you a heart that now loves him and desires to please the Lord and do what pleases him. Amen. In Revelation 9 and verse 6, it says, in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. Imagine that. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. You know, I've been doing some reading from Tom Horn. I don't know if you've heard of Tom Horn. He's got some interesting kind of articles on technology and the things of the transhumanism and trying to mix human DNA with, you know, microchip technology and microdot technology, just all kinds of a mingling of human tissue with electronics to try to create hybrids and people that basically will be indestructible, that won't die because they'll be kind of like half machine and half human. This is the stuff they're working on. Yeah, they're really working on this stuff now. And I was wondering about this, if there is a connection to this, where they're going to want to die but won't be able to because they'll be kept alive by this machinery that they're all integrating together. And so there's some crazy stuff going on right now that we really need to be careful about what we subject ourselves to. Come on, somebody. Although their sting was not fatal, it inflicted torment that lasted for 5 months. Can you imagine that? It was so intense that they wanted to die, but they couldn't. And so these locusts, well, they could represent, because they came out of the abyss, they represent these demons, which when they're released from the pit, they took possession of unsaved men and women. So this demon possession causes intense physical suffering and mental torture. Well, that's what demons do. They torture people, don't they? They torture your mind, and they can torture your body. And but this was allowed to happen, and I believe in hopes that people would turn to the Lord, the only one that could save them. Because the devil hates your guts, doesn't he? He's out for your destruction. And yes, he will do things for you. He'll give you some stuff, some free stuff. But he wants to possess you. His ultimate goal is to entrap you, to entice you with something that looks good, seems cool, popular. Everybody else is doing it. You know, Hollywood seems to celebrate it. And people get caught up in that trap and they think, well, it wouldn't be cool to have all this wealth. And people literally, they sell their souls for stuff, for temporary pleasure. And the devil's not playing. Because when he's done with the person, you know, he's going to destroy him. And what he does is he gives people, you know, a time period where they believe that they're controlling the devil. And that they're commanding these demons. And all they want to do is they want to gang up on this person and get more access to them. So this person is completely possessed and taken over by the evil. And then once they have that person in that place where even their will is so compromised that they do crazy stuff and have no conscience of it, then he destroys the person. He kills them. Isn't that what Jesus said? The thief came to rob, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life. Now the shape of these locusts, verse 7, was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. I've heard some people say, well, this could be talking about helicopters. I don't know. You never know, right? What would you be thinking of during that time when John was writing this? They had no such thing. And you're looking into the future. You were seeing these things. But I think there's more to it than that. I believe these are actual demonic entities that come out of the pit. You know, that's kind of clear, isn't it? However, there are cases where I know that, you know, they have underground bunkers and they release, you know, aircraft. Israel has underground bunkers and they can release their aircraft from underground. And so they had tails like scorpions and their stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. So if you put it together and say, well, it's a certain amount of time they're being tormented by these things, you got to kind of, you know, come to the conclusion, at least I have, that this is more than just a natural phenomenon. This is spiritual. It's demonic. Okay. Now it says, number one, the crowns on their heads, okay, of gold, right? Well, that's symbolic of the power that they're given, okay? They're given a certain authority. And their breastplates of iron indicate that they are difficult to kill or invincible. Lion's teeth speaks of fierceness. And the tail could speak of some type of stinging venom. Who knows? They're working with, even today in technology, with these sound weapons, you know, where they can fry people using microwave technology. And but who are these locusts? Well, they're possibly fallen angels who had been restrained since their fall. Now, why do we know that? Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 6. It says, the angels who did not keep their proper domain, those are the ones that rebelled with Lucifer, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So they're being chained right now in the earth until the day when they'll be released, I believe, in the day of judgment. God's going to use them, I think, for his purposes, it seems to me. And again, this torment is going to be so severe for those on the earth that they're going to want to kill themselves even, but they won't be able to. Because you know, some people, they've chosen, you know, the route of death. They would rather die than to suffer, you know, the pain of the affliction they may be undergoing. You know, even a martyr, for example, you know, in some cases, they choose not to have their deliverance. You know, they pray that God would just take them, you know. But they're not going to be able to die. These people that are on the earth at this time, that have rebelled against God, that were not, I believe, with the church, they did not respond to the invitation when they had opportunity, they're going to be reaping what they've been sowing. They didn't want God, and so therefore God's going to give them a taste of what it's like to not have them. In other words, it's going to be literally hell on earth during this time for those who were not ready. But it's not just because God wants to punish. It means that God is given also, I believe, a space of time, even for those that are still there, to repent. In verse 6, yeah, they're going to what? Seek death, and they'll not find it. In verse 11, it says, and they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Now, so we know that the leader of this evil horde is named what? Abaddon, right? And so that is the Hebrew word for destruction. So he's going to be a god of destruction, if you will. And Apollyon in the Greek refers to Satan. So who's the one, if you will, the king of this underworld? It'd be Satan, it'd be Lucifer, the fallen one, amen? And those who had fallen with him. And Satan is a destroyer. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 10:10? The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Revelation 9:12, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Now, that's pretty heavy stuff when you look at this and think about, man, what's coming on the earth. But the good news is that we don't have to be subject to that. We can escape these things and be with the Lord. Amen. And other people need to know that there's an escape in the Lord. Each trumpet judgment is more fearsome than the previous. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, I keep coming back to this, guys, because we need to remember this and comfort ourselves in this. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. His wrath was poured out on Jesus on our behalf. If you repent and turn to the Lord, amen, he will forgive your sins. Because Jesus paid for your sins in full with his own blood. So you don't have to carry them, because you and I are incapable of going before to judgment with our own sins. We will never stand in the judgment. So Jesus took care of those sins. If we repent and turn to him, change our mind, change direction, call on him. So many are not going to be saved. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction. And many go there. In other words, the majority are going the wide road. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Not through Allah, not through Muhammad, not through Buddha or Confucius or any of these other religions. They're all in their grave, amen? They didn't rise again on the third day. We serve the risen, resurrected Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. He's been given the name above every name. Hallelujah. Every knee will bow to Him. Every tongue will confess to Him, including Allah and including Buddha, amen? We serve the living God. Hallelujah. God does have a Son. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And He's the only way to salvation. For there is salvation in none other. No other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. He said, Jesus what? Died, verse 10, for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and build up or edify one another, just as you are also doing. So what did the Lord instruct us to do in the meantime? What do we need to be focusing on? Well, let's look at Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You and I are no match for our adversary. We will fall prey to our own lusts and desires if we don't pray and ask God for help, amen, to strengthen us spiritually, so we can overcome our outer man or our fleshly man that wants to sin. You have to put that part of you to death. So you build up your spirit man, praying in the Holy Spirit, Jude said, right? Jude 1, verse 20. As you build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit, amen, you become stronger and able to control what you do. But if you don't pray, Jesus said you're going to end up in temptation, right? Watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Your flesh is no match. You know that. And Matthew 13, verse 33, Jesus said, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is, the time of the Lord's coming. He says, verse 34, it's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Now, I shared this last week, but and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. But we need to be reminded of what we're called to be and do, amen, during the Lord's absence. He didn't just go away to let us go and, you know, and waste ourselves, amen, in vanity. But He's given us a mission. He wants us to be His ambassadors. He wants us to represent Him in this world, amen. So He told His people, right? He tells us, verse 35, watch, pay attention, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Verse 37, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Again, we need to remember the Lord does not want anyone to perish. But the Lord gives you and I a free will. And He doesn't violate that. He wants us to choose His way and to choose to deny ourselves, amen, in those areas that, you know, displease the Lord. And we can do that if we will rely upon His power, His grace, His sufficient grace that He makes available to us through prayer, amen. Luke 21, verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that's exactly what so many are doing right now. That day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, watch therefore, and pray always that you may be what? Counted worthy to escape. Come on, somebody, there's an escape. All these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So we should guard against becoming so preoccupied with the temporal things of this life and the cares that we're unprepared when the Lord returns. You know, the Lord rebuked the Laodicean church because they were lukewarm, because they were worldly. You know, they were just so caught up in the temporary things of the world that they didn't realize that they were really impoverished spiritually. God says, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I'll spit you out. I want you to be hot or cold. That's the way it's going to come, guys, on everyone who thinks that this world or this earth is their permanent dwelling place. You know, some people have put all their eggs in this basket, you know, and I've said it many times before, that's just like investing in a bank that's going bankrupt. You know, I'm not talking about physical money here. I'm talking about investing your life, man. What are you investing your life in, right? Or, again, getting on a ship that you know is going to sink. How many know it's a good idea if the ship is sinking to get off the sinking ship? This world is like a sinking ship. God says it's a temporary thing. It's here for a season. Amen. He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. Hallelujah. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. There ain't going to be no devil to destroy that creation. Amen. And those who are defiled will not be part of the new creation either. As a matter of fact, nothing that defiles will be welcome in heaven. That's why we must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We must be pure. Amen. To be ready for God. Hallelujah. So we need to be repentant. We need to get serious with God and say, Lord, if there's anything in my life, amen, that's not right. If I haven't gotten right with you, I want to get it right. Show me, Lord, if there's something I need to repent of, I want to get my heart right with you. Amen. And lay it down at the altar. Jesus paid for that in full. But our responsibility is to confess our sins to God. Amen. And renounce them. And we'll receive mercy from God. And we'll receive of His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it's going to come upon all those, as a snare, he said, that aren't ready. So in the closing days of time, we see it now, there's a line being drawn. And the wicked will be forever separated from the righteous. They're not going to cohabitate. I know people run around with their stickers that say cohabitate. That's not how it works. Amen. The devil is not compatible with Jesus. Amen. You're either going to follow the Lord or you're going to serve sin. Amen. And if we serve Jesus, amen, then we will have an inheritance someday. Amen. The old rugged cross is shame and reproach gladly bear, for he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. It's not popular to follow Jesus, amen? Because wide is the road that leads to destruction. So most things that the world esteems as being important or valuable or popular are an abomination to God. Understand that. Most of what Hollywood is presenting as something that's desirable and something that you want to be or do, most of that that's being presented is something that God disapproves of. And there are many people that have just gone hook, line, and sinker after those things, thinking that somehow that's going to make them happy. And the enemy is always leaving you empty. You get to that next thing that you think is going to make you happy, and you're still empty. You say, there's something missing. Well, you got to have Jesus, amen. Only the Lord can fill the deepest longing of your heart. There's an emptiness without Him. You can have everything. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? Nothing. Nothing is more important than your soul. Your soul is eternal, and we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Either heaven and hell. The Bible is very clear. There's two choices. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? We're going with Jesus. And we're going to try to take as many people as we can with us. Amen? We're not going to follow the crowd. We're going to follow the Master. And say, I'm not going to hell with you, so you might as well come with me and go to heaven. Amen? As I follow Jesus, you follow me. Hallelujah. Just be an example to others around us. The world is looking for an example of Jesus. And we're supposed to be that representation of Him. And we can do that as we pray. Amen. And we're filled with the power of God. Hallelujah. The world will notice there's something different about you. There's something supernatural about you. Amen. And hopefully they'll have a desire to eat some of the fruit and say, hey, let me have some of that fruit. Let me introduce you to the one who is the source of all good things. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So the time is coming when the trump of God will sound and God will call His people home. Are you ready to go? That's why we must go forth with the message of salvation. We must pray and intercede on behalf of those who face eternity without God. That's our responsibility as a royal priesthood. We need to pray for the lost people around us. And make sure that our soul is right. Amen. That is well with our soul first. And we must do whatever we can to warn people and call them to repentance towards God and to put their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that can save. People are looking for so many. People are trying cryogenics and some of these other things, trying to freeze themselves and hopefully resurrect in 1,000 years or whatever. Man, that's all such foolishness. You're not going to be able to save your soul. You can't save your soul. And guess what? I don't advocate, okay, polluting the rivers and the air. Okay. But guess what? Man is not going to be able to save himself or the earth. Jesus said it's like a garment, right? It's going to wear out, but there's coming a time when the Lord's going to come for His people, His church. He's going to take them home to be with Him, and He's going to pour out His wrath upon the world of the ungodly. And you don't want to be part of that, amen? Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah.